In the story of the Magi, I hear a few things. I hear faith. I hear a story of joy. And at least in my imagination, and apparently the imagination of T.S. Eliot, I imagine what life might have been like after they had come before Jesus, after being led by a star there. It was a unique moment in history and in their lives. And unique moments in life are ones that, to some degree, require faith before and after. They bring joy, a joy that is a kind of wonder and surprise and delight. And afterwards, you reflect on what it meant. It changes things. It has seemed to me, as I thought about the story of the Magi, that it reminded me of what it must have been like to have been one of the 12 people to walk on the moon and then return to life. I think I remember Buzz Aldrin, the second person to walk on the moon, actually ended up becoming a car salesman later on. And how do you do that? It required faith, as it does now. What were they looking for? They were looking for a king. And what was it that they saw in the end? A mother and her child in their home in a small village, the small village of Bethlehem. What was it that revealed to them that this was the right child? How did they know as they looked at Mary? You know, the halos that we see in the paintings, those were added in afterwards. And Jesus was not the only child his age in Bethlehem, as we will find out shortly in the story of Matthew. We aren't exactly told how the Magi knew Mary and her child were the one that they were looking for. The implication is that the star indicated which house they should go to. We read, the star stopped over the place where the child was. And on entering that house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. But was there something internal as they looked at Mary and Jesus? Was there something in their hearts? Was there something in their souls that resonated as they looked at that child? Or was there an element of faith required in that moment? We have followed all of the steps. We have been led to this point. This must be the place. And therefore, this must be the one we are seeking. It took an act of faith on their part. I've thought this before. If I had only been there, if I had been one of the shepherds with angels appearing to me and singing, if I had been a Magi watching a star move across the sky, it would be so easy to believe. Because nowadays I find it hard. But would it be all that different if I had been there? Would I still have to choose if I would bow before this child? Would it be all that obvious if I was there? We're in an age when a significant number of people believe the moon landings were faked, that they were produced in movie theaters, and it's all a conspiracy of one kind or another. But indeed, 12 people have walked on the moon's surface. They have been interviewed repeatedly to this day, those that are still alive to this day. They have been met on the street. People have shaken their hands and said, "What was it like?" over and over again, I am sure. We have pictures they took, samples they brought back. But there is still doubt. It is natural, though, for us to be skeptical, to doubt claims about a rare event, a unique event, especially if it seems this event is unlikely or improbable. Now, whether or not we believe that people actually landed on the moon and walked on it, whether we believe that or not, doesn't really affect our lives all that much. We can carry on either way, and it doesn't change anything. Perhaps. But believing that Jesus was born to rule all of humanity, and therefore to be in charge of your life, well, believing that can really change things for you. It's understandable that people are skeptical. It is understandable that many would prefer not to think about it, to set it aside, not to have to come to any conclusion. But in this congregation, what has been passed down from generation to generation is that you must make a choice. Hundreds of thousands of people arguably could have seen that same star in the sky, but only a few followed it. The Magi entered the home, knelt down, and paid Jesus homage. This required faith. It was a moment of joy, as we are told, a joy of wonder. What might we compare this joy to? For those of you who have seen a child being born, or even a farm animal, a sheep being born, a miraculous moment, hard to put into words, unbelievable, but you're seeing it happen. Something that makes you laugh and shake your head, maybe cry all at once. Several years of us, a few of us in this congregation actually traveled down to Wyoming to see the full eclipse, the solar eclipse. My sister-in-law had come to stay with us, and she thought we were crazy. We said, well, we're going to get in the car, we're going to drive for whatever 14 hours, put up a tent, get up early in the morning, watch the eclipse, get back in the car, drive all the way home. She said, all that? And how long does the eclipse last? I looked into it. It's just a few minutes. Are you crazy? Well, we did it. And I can still remember the moment that the moon completely blocked the sun and the sounds that you could hear from everybody who was gathered, the crowds that had gathered in this area. Some people laughing and crying, people yelling and shouting out. It was a unique moment, an incredible moment. You might say joy. If that could somehow capture the surprise, the wonder, the delight, the amazement, the enjoyment of that moment. And I believe it happened. It seems hard to believe that we were there. Why were the Magi overwhelmed with joy? Note that in the story it was read, as the way it was read, Matthew says it was when they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Actually, what we read in the NRSV was, when they saw that the star had stopped, and you'll see, if you're reading in our version, the NRSV, you'll see a little K beside it. It's a footnote, and it said, or the star. So the translators have added this in to try and make sense of it. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Is this a flashback? Is Matthew saying, you know, when they first saw that star in the sky, they knew what it meant and they were filled with joy. Other commentators over the centuries have thought that the star disappeared and reappeared. John Chrysostom, for one. Was it disappeared? Was it gone from their sight? Is that why they went to the palace first? Because here the star is over Bethlehem, but they went to Jerusalem, which is not that far away, but still not the same place. But perhaps they doubted what they were seeing and what they had seen. And where would you go to find a king? You would head to the palace, the place of authority. I would have expected joy when they entered and saw Jesus. But maybe that's just a small detail. Perhaps the joy was the relief of the end of their journey, the joy of reaching that goal, the joy of knowing that they had been right after all. They had been on the right path. They weren't mistaken. Perhaps seeing that star rise was a sign, as Cheryl suggested, that God was communicating with them specifically in a way that they could understand. They were joyful because the Creator is addressing us directly and specifically and individually. Or was it again that as they looked at Jesus, something in their souls rejoiced? They were finding something that they had always longed for, something they had always been seeking after. Perhaps it is all of these things at once that Matthew leaves us with this ambiguity, that the journey was a joy, that the seeing of the star was a joy, and the journey was a joy, and the completion of it, seeing Jesus with their own eyes, was a joy. God communicates with us in ways we can understand. But there's an element of faith required when we hear that voice, when we feel that nudge, when we look at something that's happening in the world and we think, is God saying something to me? And if we follow it, if we follow it and we long for that, we see Jesus, and it is our joy. But what do you do in life after you've been one of the very few to meet Jesus at his birth? I've often wondered, you know, what became of the shepherds? What became of the Magi? Did they ever hear about Jesus later on in life and said, I was there? Does it diminish everything else in life after you meet Jesus face to face? I think T.S. Eliot was trying to capture something like this in the final verses of the poem that we read, and they're printed there in your bulletins. I should be glad of another death. We return to our places, these kingdoms, no longer at ease here. Meeting Jesus makes the vulgarity and the coarseness of society seem even less palatable than it was before. Carrying on day after day means living according to the priorities and values of this world. And when you've encountered eternity, the things of this world can feel like chasing after the wind. Did the Magi ask, why were so few moved by the witness of the star? Why were people carrying on as if nothing has changed when that star appeared in the sky? Why are people so engaged and so intensely in the same old politics, the same old food and joys and pleasures, so fixed upon themselves and their entertainment, vulgar as it is? How can things just carry on? For those 12 people who walked on the moon, people have often asked them how they carried on. After walking on the moon, what is left? But largely they did carry on. But all of them have kept saying, intensely, how and why did we ever stop traveling to the moon? We were there and able to do it. How can we carry on without thinking about continuing to do this and continuing to seek new places to land? Now here is the difference between the moon landing and meeting Jesus, for the Magi and for us, among the many, perhaps. After meeting Jesus, God remains with us. Once you return from the moon, it's over. All you have is mementos and memories. The Magi could return with a new understanding of God's presence in their lives and God's activity in this world. A new sense of anticipation about what God might do next and what God might do for them and for this world. And for those who've lived after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, after the descent of the Holy Spirit, Jesus isn't just a memory of a cradle. Jesus is alive and with us. Paul brings together, I think, the world weariness that Eliot captures together with the joy of knowing Jesus today with his phrase, for me, living is Jesus and dying is gain. And I do not know which I prefer. Through faith, we seek and long to meet Jesus face to face, face to face. That is our hope. And when we meet Jesus, it is a joy. It is an exchange of love, we might say. That is our hope that gives us, that carries us through the day to day. The sense that Jesus is with us and that Jesus is coming again. It changes how we look at things, I don't think it erodes their meaning, but rather it intensifies their meaning. When we see the world through the love, through the eyes of love that God has, it changes how we look at one another and the people in the street and our world itself. So let us, in the imitation of the Magi, let us seek Jesus with faith, trusting that we are being led into Jesus' presence and closer to Jesus. Let us look upon him with joy and with love, and let us carry on to the end. Amen.